Welcome back to the Just Music Podcast. I'm your host, Marco, and unfortunately, Jalen couldn't be with us today, but we have a special guest with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's probably one of the best DJs in all of Charleston, and I'm really proud to call him a mentor and a colleague. It is the very own DJ Soto. How are you doing today?
What's up, Millie? How are you? I'm fine. Just excited to be with you on your podcast.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. You know, it's been a minute because I've been planning on bringing more DJs on, and I was like, we definitely have to get DJ Soto on because you definitely are one of the top DJs in all of Charleston, I think, and
thanks, man.
Super talented. But I guess trying to get right into it, if you could kind of, you know, tell us a little bit about your background and how you just got into Charleston in general.
Okay. Well, I'm born in Guatemala. Okay. And my dad moved here before I was born. So he asked for asylum and then he got it in 2006, I think. And then he asked for me and my brother and we came over and we landed in Tampa, Florida first in 2011.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was actually, it was 2010. By October 2010, we landed in Tampa. And I was 21 already. So, okay. Yeah. So, so I was working in one of my uncle's restaurant. And during the night, we would like, you know, go out and see what's going on in the city because I always like music and stuff.
Sure.
And then we would go to these clubs and there was an awesome club called Star Nation. They were open on Thursdays. And they had like three rooms. And that's where I had my first like club experience in the United States.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So I got in there and there was like a hip hop room and I was like, okay, I like this, you know. And then I went to another one. It was dubstep.
Oh, and dubstep.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was
that. You know what dubstep was like the main thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then the third room, they were playing like big room stuff. And they had visuals. They had three people on the stage. So it was a DJ in the middle, DJ Monk. I remember his name because I asked him so many questions. And there was two more people. Like it was one on the left and one on the right. And I was like, what are these guys doing? And I can see they had CBJs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually, one of them was actually mixing the visuals with the CBJs. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was connected.
Why didn't they do that?
I don't know, man. It's been like years ago, so I don't know how they did it. But I think like, there's a way. So I'm okay. Not like light or a visual designer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a DJ.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was just standing on the stage, just looking at them and seeing the visuals, the lighting and everything. That's exactly where I fell in love with the scene.
Okay.
I would go there every week. And, well, just my dad living there.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of my family lives in Goose Creek, which is, Goose Creek is 20 minutes ago from here and 20 minutes away mm-hmm. from here. But I live with my dad for a year, but I came and visit Charleston. And then my uncle, who was like kind of my age, he introduced him to his friends and his friends were from College Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were all girls and stuff. And they're like, I was like, hi. And I was like, oh, shit, this is nice. This is fun. And then when I went back to Tampa, I was like, I wish I can live in Charleston, you know. And then I had an opportunity to work here because my brother was working here already. He moved here first. And then he explained to me how the situation. And I love having friends, you know, I'm a super friendly person and I like to have people around. So I decided to move here and I came in 2012.
Nice. Nice. Uh-huh. So you've been here for 10 years now. Wow.
Yeah, pretty much in Charleston, downtown.
Downtown Charleston. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I got my first job at Santi's, you know, the Mexican restaurant downtown.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. So I was a server there.
Really? Okay.
And the funniest part, I got my first mixer from a guy in the kitchen.
Really?
Yeah, Santi's. It was a Mixtruck Pro for $125. And that's how I started like mixing in my room by myself with Virtual DJ was the software I was using before I even knew it.
Wow, yeah. Virtual DJ. Okay. I feel like that's the gameplay software.
Uh-huh. You remember Virtual DJ?
Yeah, I think I remember seeing it on the app store back in the day. And it's just like you play around with Virtual DJ, and then that's where you choose the life-altering decision of whether to use Serato or Record Box.
But, you know, yeah, because it was just red and I remember the color red and blue, and it was two channels too. But you could actually DJ with your laptop. You didn't need like extra hardware or anything. So it was easier for me. So I started with Virtual DJ by myself in a laptop that I bought in Tampa and I brought it over here.
Okay.
And then when I got the Mixer Pro, you literally like just got to map it out and just, it was working for my force for that. So somebody told me about Serato later.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was Wade. I will see Wade DJing on Serato, DJ United.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but to use Serato back in the day, you had to like have a box. So you use vinyl and you have like a Serato. I remember the exact name, but it was a box that you plug. So you use the vinyls,
mm-hmm.
and then it was linked to that, and the box was linked to the computer and the mixer.
Oh.
It was a lot of more wiring back in the day.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds a lot more complicated than it is right now.
Uh-huh, because, and I was following Wade here. When I knew he was DJing, he was the only DJ who will play hip-hop and dubstep mixed up. And I was like, I like this guy.
Hell yeah. That's great.
I started building my playlist since I was in Tampa, you know, like I was collecting, downloading tracks. Like I was going this, I have no idea about Record Pool. So I was just trying to get the tracks from YouTube Catcher or, you know, SoundCloud free download or, you know, anyway. And this guy showed me about this website called ZPShare. So if there's a song on YouTube that I like, I will go to ZPShare and look for the track, or just type the name of the track, ZPShare, and then it will be there. You get the link. So I was building a playlist. Of course, it wasn't the top quality because it was like super high volume on some of them, and the other one was super quiet. You know, so my playlists were like super up and down.
Yeah. Do you mind just quickly explaining to the listeners why when you're downloading music as a DJ, it's important to get music from like a record pool and versus like ripping it off from YouTube and just kind of like describe like the different sites or whatever.
Okay. So I learned this like 5 years ago, because when I was playing, well, my first gig I got in Charleston was a Republic.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I got my first gig at Republic, and I was a resident DJ for them for years, and let's say 5 years. It was 2014, 16. I was still playing for them, you know. But my name got out in Charleston because I was a resident DJ at Republic.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I learned the quality of music, because I was like, people will talk to me and be like, oh, the owner pretty much would be like, why some of your tracks are like, the volume is like super low and then the other ones are higher. And mm-hmm. I had no idea because I had my monitor blasting on my ear, you know.
But
you're young, you're a DJ and you just want loud music.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to fix it, you know. So Republic sent me to Vegas for 5 days to this DJ in Clubs Expo. It was bars, clubs, DJs, expos. So I went to these seminars they had over there, and it was nice. So it was a whole pack. It's like, if you go to these seminars, you can go to the club later. And it was a whole pack. So
wow, that's sick. Yeah, I might have Dan send me to that now, since I DJ at Republic now. So I'm
really?
Yeah, I'm like one of
that's cool, because I was there too, man. It's
full circle. I was just thinking, like, wow. And uh-huh. You go to a seminar in Vegas? Oh, yeah, I'm going to be texting Dan right now.
Yeah, for real. And it's so much fun. And then these guys start explaining to me, oh, yeah, you can get this software, this and that. And then they were like, oh, there's these record pools that you can get. And the quality of the song's got to be 320 kbps. That's the top quality for tracks. Some of them are MP3 and some of them are WAV. So it depends on on where you get them and stuff. Mm-hmm. You just got to be careful. They got to be a great, great quality tracks. And you can actually select a column on iTunes and it tells you the quality, you know?
Okay.
That's how I learned on these seminars.
Sure.
And then I will go follow like United. I will follow like DJ Why Not. And I will see they have these badass mashups. And I was like, how did they get that? You know, it's a whole track. I really like that. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was doing it live, you know.
Really?
Yeah, so just playing original tracks pretty much the whole time. But then following them, I realized they were playing these different vocals on a different beat. And I was like, where did they get this? And I can see it says CK on the title. CK on all the titles. And I was like, yo, what's the CK meaning? That's when I knew about Club Killers. So that's how I knew about Record Pools. And then I found out there was more of them. And I was like, that's when actually my DJ game got like one step higher, like five years ago.
So, okay. So that's when you like went from a certain level to you just elevated. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I understood the qualities was really important, you know, mm-hmm. and the kind of speakers in the club are really important too. Sound, you know, a club is a whole perception, like it's visual perception, audio, and you know, like feelings too. Like you can feel it, you can see, and you can listen, you know, like the bass, yeah. you can see the laser, the visuals, and you can listen to the great music. So it's a whole fusion of elements that you got to make sure are top quality so people can experience it at the same time and be like, wow, I have fun last night, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah. So going back to your career. So when you were first starting out and you were meeting Wade and all these other DJs, so were you mostly just kind of teaching yourself how to DJ, or did you have Wade and Why Not like teach you some things, like how did you learn to mix?
Well, this is funny. I will follow them and just waiting for people's reactions. So I will type, because, you know, I'm Guatemalan. Like, I have no American culture. I just came here, like, years ago, you know, and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to see what's the name of the title of this song and type it down, go home, and get the track, you know? So that's how I build my first playlist.
Okay.
And I never stopped building it. You know, this is a 24/7 job. Just anytime you can get a track, anytime you shoot them a new track, just screenshot it and make sure whenever you sit down on your laptop, you get it, put it on like main playlist. So you have it there, you know?
Absolutely.
So I will follow them. I would never try to bother them because I kind of like was trying to be friends with them, but they didn't want to in the beginning. Cause you know, like they're like, oh, this new guy over here trying to follow me and stuff.
They're like, ew, who's this guy?
Yeah. They were super nice, but it wasn't like, oh, you want to grab lunch, or because they were busy the whole time, you know, way those weddings, and Wino was kind of like the main DJ, mm-hmm. and he was playing everywhere else, so they were always busy.
Sure.
So I pretty much taught myself. I was practicing in my room the whole time. I was working as a server at the Mexican restaurant, and when I had like breaks, like 3-4 hour breaks, I would just get a giant rebel, which wasn't healthy, but it was fun. Giant rebel and just chug the rebel and just play for hours by myself in my room, man. And like that, I kind of like listened to the tracks and I was like, oh, I just got a beat match, you know, like, but I got to leave the main part, which is the build up and the drop. And after that, I can mix it up, you know?
Sure.
And I was always being like a music fan since I was a kid. And I used to play the guitar and stuff, but I don't know how to read notes right now. Like, that's what I have to learn to start mm-hmm. making music. And I'm pretty much working on Ableton right now, but I'm a beginner in that. So on my DJing part, I pretty much like know a lot of stuff, but I gotta like practice more on what comes to make music.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So now, so at this point, you're practicing in your bedroom, you're, you know, writing down these songs. So my next question is, so how did you get your foot in the door at Trio, and how did you meet Eric? Like, what's the story behind that?
All right. So it's because when I got my first gig at Republic, and other clubs would come and see me, you know, I was kind of the first DJ playing big room house here. You
know, Charleston
is more like a southern country. So if either, you know, it's country or hip hop and that, this and that. So I was kind of the first guy playing more EDM. And that was when the EDM bubble was like growing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would play that. And then club owners would come and ask me, like Neil, who owns Mint.
Right.
It's not open anymore, but
yeah.
You know, he came up to me and he was like, "You want to play for me?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, I'm down." And then Silver Dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was Silver Dollar. I was at Republic. Then before Ink was Ink, it was called Ink and Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing Ink and Ivy. I was playing in Market Street, a club called Envy.
Oh.
I don't know if you know about that one.
Yeah, I feel like I might have had a fraternity event or formal there, but that was like a while ago.
It's
still open, right?
You did have more like live music now. It's a market, so that's a busy street. So people it's always there. So it's on Henry's. You know Henry's, the bar Henry's?
Yeah, I know.
So that's their club is called Envy now. So
I see. Okay.
So I was playing pretty much everywhere for years. And then I got my opportunity to play at Uptown. And then I was a resident at Uptown for 3.5 years.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I worked for them. And people got to know me there because I kind of start playing like house music on Sundays, you know, because I'm a huge house music fan. And I always wanted to play house music on a rooftop.
Yeah.
And from there, like kind of my name got out and playing a man. Eric will come and just walk on the sidewalk and just come down and see me playing on Dollar Thursdays and, you know.
Oh, yeah. I remember Dollar
Thursdays. That was popping there. And it was like, it was fun. And I was DJing.
Mm-hmm.
So DJ Why Not will ask me to fill up for him sometimes a trio, you know. Like, I always wanted to play a trio because, you know, it's like when they announced the renovation and like the $1 million renovation they had for the whole building. I was like, wow, I want to play there one day. And the owner, Eric, you know, was there and he listened to me. And he liked it. He liked it for the first time. He said, "Hey, I like the way you play, man. Good job." And I was like, "Yeah, I appreciate it, man." And I would like fill up here and there for Why Not when he wasn't able to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dumb Dollar was coming to perform a trio. Yeah, Dumb Dollar. And since I was kind of like the guy playing Sunday Funday Uptown, playing house.
Sure.
One of my friends, I don't know if you know Turner.
I don't think I know him, though.
He's an amazing guy, man. I love Turner. He told Eric, "You should get DJ Soto to open for Dumb Dollar, you know?"
Mm-hmm.
And Eric reached out to me and he was like, "Hey, man, you want to open for Dumb Dollar?" And I was like, "Hell yeah. Like, I'm super down. I love Dumb Dollar, you know?"
Right.
And then that was the first time I was about to play for someone big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID hit.
Oh. Oh, damn.
COVID hit and Dumb Dollar canceled, man, because he's not from here. You know, he's from the UK and he couldn't come.
Right.
They closed borders and stuff. Nobody could fly and all that, you know?
Right.
So we were just closed. Everything was closed, you know? And I was doing construction too.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing construction on the weekdays and I was DJing on weekends. That was pretty much for like 6 years, 8 years.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So I think I got late to work one day.
Mm-hmm.
His construction just kept going because he was essential for on COVID.
Right. On
COVID. So I got there late and my boss didn't like it. So he was like, "Hey, I'm just going to send you home. Like, we can have you doing this and, you know, we need people and this and that. And there's only people who wants to work." And I was like, I kind of got fired.
Right.
And then I was here at home with and I was at home with Nikki and talking, and my friends, you know, Anthony from Trio.
Yeah, I know Anthony.
He hit me up and started telling me that they were going to have a party, like a private party in a boat. And that was kind of like my first job after getting fired from construction. And he was like a bar manager at Trio too.
Okay.
So I played for them. And I think he talked to Eric after that. And then we were able to maybe have people sitting at Trio, I think. And we were one of the few places open having like DJs and people just sitting, you know, like certain number of people, but they have to be sitting. Nobody can be dancing. You know, you have to have social distancing and stuff.
Right.
So Eric came up to me and he was like, can you help me run like Sunday fun day on Sundays and just bring like your DJ friends, and we will get them open from, let's say, 1 p.m. till like, you know, go all night long, or 4 p.m., something like that. And I started inviting everyone. So I got Don Menu, I got Mikey Palmer, Jared Feels Good, I got Kevo, Wade sometimes.
Sure.
So I was like kind of in charge of bringing them all. And we started like Sunday Fundays at Trio. We were the only place open. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you guys were doing the Sunday Fun Day, that was before they did the patio renovations and you guys were DJing on the fire escape, right?
Yeah, we were pretty much using my whole production. Like, we were pretty much were using all my speakers.
Yeah.
And my sub, my tops, my lights. And I was bringing pretty much everything, you know, because I was in charge of the party. Mm-hmm. And it came up being super fun for the city, is super fun for everybody. I don't know if you went on one of those Sunday fun days and saw us, but it was amazing. And it was before we had the patio, opening in that renovated patio already. So we started doing that. And then, like COVID, we started like giving more permissions. People keep like opening more and then we kept doing the Sunday Funday thing. We got to a point where we brought like a video wall.
Mm.
We got lasers out there. We got a haze machine. And that was the peak of the patio. We were like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So working with Eric, we got to know each other more and more, you know. We started hanging out more and more, talking about music, talking about other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked me if I wanted to be his resident DJ. And I was like, yeah, man, I would like to. So that's how I got connected with him.
Okay.
And then after a year working with him, on his birthday, he invited me to go to Holes. And I was like, well, he's inviting me, it's his birthday, it's his wife and his best friend, you know, like, but he wanted me to go there. And when I got there, he just told me that, oh, I just invited you because I want to name you entertainment director of Trio.
Mm-hmm.
After working on 1 year for me, like, I realized that maybe we can do something together, and I want to name you entertainment director and, you know, head resident of the club. And right. I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. So I was super happy. Yeah, I was super happy how I got that position. Yeah. And I asked him, you know, like, what made you ask? Like, what made you ask me that? And he was like, your character, your work ethic, and you're a pretty good DJ. That's how I got to be the entertainment director of Trio, be part of the staff, and you know, pretty much get to that point.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's sweet. How that all just kind of came to be. Now, I was also curious. So how did you kind of meet the Strawberry Squad guys? Because I remember they were telling me, like, the original guys were them and you. And I was just kind of curious how you guys got into connecting with each other.
The original guys of the Strawberry Squad were pretty much, I don't know if you know, Kilgo.
I don't think I've met Kilgo.
Yeah, have you heard about Kilgo?
I think I've heard the name before.
Yeah, Kilgo was another great Charleston DJ, and then it was DJ Kevo, Kilgo, and United, Sparbox, because they were roommates on the Strawberry Lane.
Oh, right.
That's so before everybody else moved to Strawberry Lane, the original people who lived there started Strawberry Squad. And after they started Strawberry Squad, they started Tropical Brunch.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember the Tropical Brunches.
Yeah, I think I might have remembered hearing something.
Tropical Brunches were like a pop-up party on Sundays, and there will be a Mint, or there will be a Republic, you know, and then we will go and play. So between that, the Tropical Brunch, between Tropical Brunch and me started working for Uptown, they invited me to be part of the Strawberry Squad, even though I never lived in the Strawberry Lane. So right. We were a bunch of guys there, like Seth G, you know, like Dollar Mania was there too later. There was Double Crown. Yeah, everyone else. Curry, of course.
Love curry sauce, man. Yeah.
That's my dog, dude. John Curry is amazing, talented DJ and producer, man. I think he's one of the best in Charleston.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
I know him for like 12 years, 10 years since I moved here.
Yeah. That's
because I would go party with United. United was Curry's roommate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they used to have a duo together.
Oh, really? I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
It was called Race United.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It was a girl singer, United, and Curry DJing.
That's sweet. I definitely have to ask Curry about that for sure.
Yeah. But, ask him for Race United. Be like, yo, what's Race United? And he was
Definitely. The next thing I want to talk about was so who were some of the big name DJs that you got to open up for at Trio?
Oh my god.
And who was your favorite?
One of my favorites, of course, the start, and I want to fix this. Dom Dolla is from Australia, not from the UK.
Okay.
So I actually got to open for him, and I was super excited to open for him.
Mm-hmm.
I opened for Tiesto in Charlotte, which is one of the biggest inspirations.
Oh, right. Tiesto. Yeah. He's like Jay-Z of EDM.
Yeah, dude, like for real. I was a huge fan of him before he started making Big Room, because he used to make trance.
Oh, yeah. Back in the early 2000s, yeah.
Yeah, he's 52 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we still have time, you know, we can make it. We got some years ahead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
John Summit was an amazing opening for John Summit.
Oh, that must have been a great show.
Solardo. I opened for Solardo. Steve Aoki.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Well, like, who haven't you opened up for?
I want to open for Skrillex, something like that. You know, he's one of the biggest. Skrillex or DJ Snake. Those are my bro. I love him. Because Dylan Francis, too, was one of my biggest inspirations.
Yeah, and he came and too.
Yeah, and I got to open for him.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. That's sweet.
Yeah.
You know, it's really kind of inspiring how, you know, I'm sure for everyone that you tell the story to, how you just, you know, started off admiring just the art of it. And then, you know, you worked your way up working and DJing in a kitchen and then your bedroom. And now you're opening for these big names. So,
yeah, Cedric Gervais and from Summertime Sadness.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. I was at that show. He was pretty good. And
Benny Benassi.
Yeah.
Benny Benassi too.
Yeah. I tried to go to that show, but I think I was working that night. But yeah, so that's just really, really cool how you're able to just kind of like go from, you know, the bottom to like opening up these big guys near the top. So
Medusa,
I guess
Medusa, sorry to interrupt you. Medusa was a great show too.
Oh, you did open up for Medusa too. Sick.
Yeah. So those are like great experiences where you get nervous because you know somebody huge is gonna be next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And Medusa, one of the ones that I got off the decks, the CDJs. I got off the CDJs and I step away. And before they started playing music, the guy pulled me back and he made people like clap for me and stuff. And I was like, I thought he needed help with something. And I said, like, what's going on? Looking down. And I can see on the video when he's like, give it up for this guy, you know, and everybody started yelling. Yeah, it was a great experience.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's sweet. So my one question I had, because when I did my first opening gig up at upstairs at Trio, and I was opening up for Crespo, I really wasn't worried about like what to play because like does he produce his own music? Because I don't think I've heard any of his stuff if he's produced music.
I feel like he has a couple of originals. He's huge on in Miami.
Okay.
He's huge in Miami and he's Czech. He has originals too.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Well, yeah, he has originals too. And right. But he's known as one of the best top 40 DJs in the nation. Like he's sponsored by Tequila Sin Coro.
Right.
Which is owned by Michael Jordan. he plays in the biggest clubs in Miami. So
yeah. So I guess where I was going with it was because I know in some bigger venues, when there's a big opener or when there's a big artist coming in, the opener, isn't it where they have a list of songs that they can't play, like that are specific to the artist? Because it'd be kind of like messed up if you just, you know, we're opening up for John Summit. You just keep playing like in Chicago or La Danza. And then he goes on and he's like, what am I supposed to play now? You know?
Yeah. So
when you were opening up for these big guys, did they, how did that work? Did they contact you ahead of time being like, here's a list of songs you can't play? Or how does that work?
Some headliners are really picky on that. Of course, like if you have a headliner, you have an artist.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna play their music, so that's a rule number one: do not play their music at all or any remix. You know,
sure.
But that's why people came to see them to listen to their music live.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the number one rule as an opener: do not play their music. But some headliners have different rules. You know, some of them are like picky on their playlist, so they will send a do not playlist. You know, so. Sure. They'll send a list of songs that they're going to play, so they don't want you to play, so it won't get played twice.
Mm-hmm.
Some other headliners like you to stay in a specific BPM, which is beats per minute, the speed. They don't want you to pass 124, you know, don't go too high. Or some other want you to, like, stick to the same genre, you know, like melodic techno. Play melodic techno. Do not play, like, tech house, you know.
Sure.
It depends who you're opening for, and that's why we have the team, a trio, who each person has a specific work, and we have our artist relation director.
Mm-hmm.
She's in charge of like organizing everything before and have an advance email and have like a day of the show email, making sure we have the specific equipment the DJ needs, and we have the specific stuff that they want, even whatever they're drinking, you know, like that's mm-hmm. That's the writer, and we have the technical writer, which is my job to make sure what they want. And always side notes, some headliners don't drink, so they don't want any alcohol drinks around them.
Sure.
Some of them want tequila and, you know, the specific 1942 or Casamigos, or depends on what they like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have a team of trio, and then we all have something to do every day of the show.
Absolutely. So I guess kind of switching gears, this is more just your opinions and your thoughts. I always ask this for every DJ we have on. And my question is, what do you think of the sync button? Do you think that it's enhancing the art of DJing or ruining it? I want to hear your thought on it.
I never use the sync button.
Okay, so you're anti-sync.
I'm not anti-sync. You can do whatever you want. I just don't know, because the problem with the sync button is, like, some producers, when they work in Ableton, you know, Ableton has, every song has a beat grid. So you have to, like, drag the track specifically on the grid. Mm-hmm. It's called warping. You're warping a track. When you're warping a track, you're making sure the song is hitting on the right beat grid.
Right.
Some DJs, producers don't do it. So if you're playing a mashup by somebody who didn't warp the song the right way, if you press sync, it won't sound great because the producer who made that track didn't warp the track the right way.
Oh.
So if you play a song by itself, all right, cool. It's just playing the song, like, it's fine. If you play by ear. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you notice this on the CDJs, but you know the beat grid sometimes never match.
Right, I will notice that. Like, and it's like not on the actual beat. Oh,
exactly.
I see.
Exactly. So that's why, because the producer, whoever made the song or the mashup, it's pretty much more on mashups, not original tracks. Mm-hmm. Whoever made the mashup didn't warp the song the right way. So if you press sync, we get the bit grid on the same, but if one of them is not on the right spot, mm-hmm. you wouldn't sound great.
Right. And you'll be able to tell quickly. And
oh, yeah. It's a train wreck. You're like, you will listen. And it's so bad sometimes. So if you ask me where the sync button is on some equipment, I have no idea, because I haven't used it since I started DJing.
Right. That's good. And I totally agree with you on that. And I feel like, once you get comfortable just DJing and everything, it's like you don't really need the sync button. It's like adding training wheels to your bicycle when you know how to ride a bike, you know? But
you gotta play pretty much by ear. Just make sure your track's on the same BPM.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just hit the cue on the right part. And if your song has an intro and an outro, everything is easier. You know, exactly. Like if you're playing like top 40 set somewhere, just, you know, make sure you're on beat. If you're beat matching the right way, then you can actually, you know, push the song forward or back it up a little bit. That's what vinyls DJs do.
Right.
So if you're beat matching the right way, playing by ear, you won't even remember the sync button, you know? So
exactly.
So just learn how to hear the track and be like, have rhythm, you know, like,
yeah.
So you got it, you know?
You just gotta And that's one thing I've noticed too with my own DJing career, is like I've been able to just like be able to hear when something's on beat and when it's not on beat. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's weird. Sometimes when you're in the flow of it, it's kind of like you get this feeling of, you can like feel the music being, as cliche as that sounds, you can like feel the music being in tune and everything like that. It's like a weird,
it's a weird feeling that only us
can realize, you know.
I call it the fourth dimension. It's when you have like the crowd control, bro, and you're enjoying what you're playing and the music and the people is connecting with you, because they're perceiving while you're trying to like communicate with your tracks, you know. So you connect the same energy, and that's a high that you don't, you know, you, that's a high you get when you're DJing that people won't understand. It's amazing. Yeah. You know, you're getting the flow. And then when your set goes smooth like that, it's like, wow, I play really good.
Exactly. Absolutely. And then I always ask this question for our DJs. Do you have any wild DJ stories, like with either crowd or something not going right, or you had a bad interaction with an artist, like a headliner, like anything?
Man, I have so many stories. I don't know which level you want. Like, you know, girls are always crazy. Girls getting naked next to me happened back in the day all the time, you know. And
they throw their bras on stage for you?
Not even the bras. They don't even wear bras anymore. They just flash you right there, you know? And you'd be like, whoa, okay, cool.
You're like, sick. All right.
That's one thing. Another thing, this older guy gave me a Dom Perignon champagne bottle one night.
Uh-huh.
But I blacked out. And I don't remember anything. And then, yeah, so, and I got sent home for 2 weeks. I was DJing at Republic, and they were telling me how bad I was. So I don't recommend DJs to get blacked out when you DJ. You can party after, but just don't drink too much. Drink water in between your drinks. Don't get sloppy, because not a good look.
Yeah.
So the next day I woke up, and I woke up at 4 p.m. And I was feeling pretty chill. And I'm like, well, I'm not hangover. And I have this feeling on my chest. Then months later, this guy who gave me the bottle got caught, because he was the one providing Xanax pills for Charleston.
Oh shit.
I was like, oh, that's what happened then, because I literally blacked out and woke up so late, and I was just feeling like super chill. I had no anxiety or hangover or anything. I was like,
wow.
I was pretty really good.
Damn. That's
but so I got sent at home, because they told me the next day that I stepped, you know, DJ Booth at Republic. I step on it, and I was like moving my head back and forth, like, because I had long hair. I would never do that, bro.
So you get onto the little table, like,
I stepped on it, and one of the owners back in the day, his name was John. He came up me, and he would grab my arm in the back, and he was like, "Turn the music down, turn the music down." And I remember.
Wow, I'm off to try that at Republic next time.
Yeah, dude.
Jeez. Yeah.
If you want to get sent home for 2 weeks, you know, like.
Yeah. Damn, that's crazy. That's crazy. Oh my gosh.
So that's my advice for DJs. Just don't get sloppy on the stage. People are looking at you, and your job is to entertain people. So drink water in between, and just see if you want to get super drunk after, you're free to do it, you know. Just make sure you do a great job.
Exactly. You got to be professional at the end of the day. Yep. I totally agree with that. So I guess my last kind of question is, what's next for DJ Soto? Like, what are your upcoming goals in your DJ career thus far? What are you trying to do?
Music production.
Okay.
Yeah. Jumping in Ableton and putting time on it. And start practicing with mashups, and, you know, I have great people around me who can help me and been helping me. You know, Angelo the Kid is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend you having it on this podcast if you want. He'll be down to do it. He's an amazing person. He's been helping me so much.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I have, like, we practice, like, I've been hanging out with Shane. Shane is into production already. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, he's very talented.
So now I'm putting time more on my health part. Like, I've been going to the gym more now. I'm into this new lifestyle program that I started my fitness journey. So it's been working fine on me. Music production is what I'm focusing on, and my lifestyle. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, are you going to be doing any, any other gigs kind of like outside of Charleston you got lined up?
Yeah, I'm playing in Conway One and Done October 15th. We actually have a party in Charlotte, which is for trio staff. And I invite you if you want to come and join us too.
Oh, thank you.
It's October 2nd. It's on a Sunday, and we're going to go to Charlotte and party all together. And I'll get to the details with you. I have another out-of-town gig, the October 15th, which is in Conway, One and Done. And another one November 12th. That's in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Inferno Flats. So if you're in Ohio, come over and see me.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. Awesome. 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 Well, Soto, I really, really appreciate your time coming on. You know, it was great.
Thanks for having me, man.
You know, and as always, I love having DJs on, because I feel like I can connect with you guys more than just a regular musician, where you're creating music, and I just feel like all I do is press play, and that's it. But, you know, so I really just appreciate it. So, all of our listeners, if you guys are in Charleston, definitely check out DJ Soto. He's always at Trio opening up for and headlining as well, because I'm opening up for you this Friday. Well, yep. When this episode releases, it'll already pass. But yes, I'm looking forward to that.
We should record our set and post it too, you know?
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm already creating a new playlist, kind of switching it up a little bit, adding some new stuff.
Great.
But I'm looking forward to it. And it's going to be a good time. So
I'm happy for you, and I'll be there to see you, you know? I'll be there.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Good.
Have some fun.
Definitely.
Well, thanks for having me, Emily. I appreciate the opportunity, man. And whoever's listening, thank you guys. My name is James Soto, DJ Soto. And DJ, you can find me on Instagram at DJ Soto.
Yes. Look him up on Instagram, DJ Soto. Give Trio a follow on Instagram. It's at Trio Charleston. And thank you guys for listening. You can check us out on Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Just Music Podcast. Check out our website at justmusicpodcast.com. And until next time, thanks for hanging with us. Take it easy.